NBA playoffs have kind of run the gamut. Surprises to surprising blowouts. Let's talk about a bunch of it. Our guest is a first-timer. He's the founder and host of the Old Man Squad Sports Network, courtesy of our friends at the Believe Network on Twitter. Use at Dan Besbris. Dan, how's life down there in the 818?
I can't complain. It's pretty easy to live in Southern California. It's not cheap, but at least you don't really have to think about what you're wearing most days.
I like that. Up here, sometimes we get spring, fall, and a little bit of summer all in the same afternoon. So
that sounds like a lot of work.
Yeah, we're experts in what they call, I had to learn when I moved west, in layering. So if you ever make your way to the Northwest, that's what you need to know about. So
noted.
As a first-timer, I love to get background story. For example, I grew up in the shadow of Manhattan, huge New York sports fan from dating back to when Namath was the Jets quarterback. The Knicks were actually winning titles. So let the folks know, where do you hail from? And I guess who are the teams and players who kind of made you a sports nut?
Oh, man. So I am an Angeleno from birth. I did bounce around a little bit in between, but my sports love was definitely solidified in the Los Angeles area. Dodgers was the first love. My mom taking me to those nosebleed seats at Dodger Stadium. They were like $4 when I was a kid. And so we could go all the time. And I'm trying to think back of who... little kid, you sort of don't remember the players on the team. I feel like the first Dodger, like big name Dodger that I could remember was Eric Karros, but I was probably 7 or 8 by that point already. I didn't really get into Lakers basketball until I was 10 or 11. That was kind of the Nick Van Exel era Lakers. So they were okay, but they weren't great. And those are the two sports loves for me as a kid. And it's kind of carried through, although, you know, I work heavily in fantasy basketball now, so you have to be very pragmatic. You can't let your sports loves cloud your judgment. You got to make the right call because, you know, there's pride and sometimes money on the line.
No, if you gamble or play fantasy and let your heart get in the way, that's the quickest way to tap out.
Yep.
No question about it. So at the top, I mentioned the Old Man Squad. And for anybody who hits your Twitter feed, the first thing they'll see is you just started the Old Man Sports Squad Network. So put on your marketing hat. Let us know what that's all about. And for folks who check it out, what could they expect?
First of all, that's very kind of you. So this was a reference to the style that I like to play fantasy sports, which is generally collecting older players because they're not shiny, but they tend to know you generally know what they're going to do, and they tend to fall in fantasy drafts as a result. And so I took that adage and I turned it into the name of the network just because I thought it would be funny and people kind of knew me for it. But as far as the network goes, it's really more of a podcasters collective, as I'm thinking the better way to describe it, where I'm hoping to allow people to pursue their passions in sports broadcasting, where it might be kind of hard if you don't know how to do it on the technical side. If you need partners like Believe, they've been so unbelievable as a partner for me personally and for helping to get this network off the ground. That's kind of where we're headed, is we're hoping to add shows and just continue to grow with people who are super passionate about it. Maybe it was more of a recruiting pitch than a marketing pitch, huh?
Yeah, no, that was well done, though. I like that.
thank you.
Let's actually get to some NBA, talking with Dan Besbris, the Old Man Sports Squad Network. Sometimes, even though I host this show and provide analysis, every once in a while I just put my fan hat back on. And if you think about whether it's Anthony Edwards, this OKC team, this kind of 90s throwback series, Indy in New York, just how much have you just enjoyed this postseason with some really and fresh storylines?
I love basketball. And I almost don't have any times that I don't. I think I'm still actually one of the rare people who really enjoys the regular season too, just with kind of the understanding that, you know, these guys are not going 100% in every game, because if they did, their bodies would be destroyed by mid-December. I still find the joy in that. So then when you get to the playoffs and you actually see these guys going at a full 100% and they're playing 42 minutes a game, it is unbelievably enjoyable. And the sort of ascendance, you mentioned Anthony Edwards, I think he's got to be, at least in my eyes, he's the biggest story of the postseason, not because necessarily he's been the best player in the postseason, he's been great, but because he's kind of starting to take that mantle of, like, the next face, potentially. He's got great quotes, he has that big smile that everybody loves. He was in an Adam Sandler movie, so everybody loves that too. And I love what's happening there. Maybe I'm looking at it more from a marketing standpoint. He just seems like he could be this next kind of most marketable young guy, but you've still got Luka in there. He's finally at that next level, and they're a win away from knocking the Thunder out. So that's exciting. You've got the Nuggets and Wolves 3-3. They've got a Game 7 coming up. The champs are, I don't want to say on the ropes, but they're having to fight for their playoff lives. I think the only thing that I would say is a little bit of a downer is, and this is the downer every postseason, you sort of get used to it, but guys getting knocked out, and I know New York has been sort of the epicenter for that, but Jamal Murray's playing banged up, and the Knicks are down a number of key players these days. It is a war of attrition in the postseason, and someone's going to come out of a path that maybe was just a little bit easier than it would have been otherwise. You could probably look, I guess, at kind of Boston's route right now. But otherwise, the playoffs are amazing. They're so hotly contested. First, second round, whatever. They're compelling storylines in every ballgame, and I don't know, dude, where do your loves land right now? I think for me, Anthony Edwards has been kind of the number one thing.
Yeah, one of the things I always like to point out for people are like, it was better in this day, and, you know, I'm from one era, and I'm like, you got to understand, when you see guys like Jokic and some of these bigs, their crazy skill set, the level of athleticism, to me it all comes down to one thing. These playoffs have been a great reminder. Don't forget about just the joy of the game.
You're so right.
I think that is so important. And to me, I'll be perpetually 12 sitting at the Garden rooting for Willis Reed and the Knicks with my dad next to me and 19,500 New Yorkers losing their minds. So
I'm guessing then just a wild shot in the dark that Jalen Brunson has been a pretty nice storyline for you.
Yeah, that's might be the that's like saying LA is a pretty big city with a lot to do. So,
and a lot of traffic.
Yeah. So I want to deviate for a moment. You're an LA guy. You get to call USC baseball games. You've been there your whole life. I've had millions of conversations for the last year and change about the fact that what I consider the greatest league in college history is evaporating before our eyes. You know, we know the story, USC, UCLA, the Oregon schools to the Big Ten, your alma mater, Cal, going to the ACC. I'm just curious as to your thoughts on the demise of this legendary historic conference.
I hate it. It was, the whole situation was mismanaged so unbelievably. And I can't, like, I know that people want to put blame on individual schools, but they're going to go where the best deal is coming. And the Pac-12 had an opportunity to sign a lucrative media deal that, as the story goes, and I know we don't have every little detail of it, it sounds like they pushed for extra, and then the whole thing came apart. I detest it, and it's so weird for me right now. I don't call every game for USC. They're kind enough to have me out for about a dozen games or so each year, which is good because I have two young kids at home, and I kind of have to sprint back a lot of the time.
Right.
But right now, this weekend, I'm calling the last regular season Pac-12 baseball games ever. And it seems unfathomable. I know they have the Pac-12 tournament coming up for baseball still, but to say that out loud just seems... I can't say the words, so
me either.
But it's nuts. How can this be? These are like, you have so many incredible schools that were all playing each other, and greed got the best of the collective, not individual institutions. Like, obviously, they need money because a lot of these schools are in a budget crisis. So, yeah, you can try to get a few extra bucks. You do it, and they had an opportunity to do it together, and it got mucked up. And the travel is going to be nuts for a lot of these. Well, everybody, basically, almost all of them. Cal's going east all the time, and you know, Oregon, and I'm with USC right now. I got a sneak peek at what their schedule looks like. It's crazy. I get it, and charter flights are, you know, it's easy to travel these days, but it doesn't make any sense from a logistical standpoint, and just from an emotional standpoint, it's really upsetting.
Yeah, who didn't dream growing up of, man, I hope Oregon and Rutgers are in the same conference, or USC and Maryland. It's unbelievable.
It's crazy.
Right, let's get back to the NBA playoffs, talking with Dan Bezbris, Old Man Sports Squad Network. We saw last night Mike Conley returned, and Minnesota just beat the brakes off the champs. They also held him to 70 points. Fair to look at this as just a brutal game, or have the T-Wolves kind of gain the upper hand, even heading back to Denver?
I think you consider it a bit of a one-off. Now, Minnesota is defensively outstanding. They're the number one defense in the NBA, and you saw a little bit of that in games one and two, but they need to get something on offense out of some of those defense-first guys, and you saw that in game six. Someone like a Jaden McDaniels, for instance, who is outstanding as a defender, but kind of disappeared for a few games in the middle of the series. I happen to think that Game 7 may just come down to how close to 100% Jamal Murray is, and he doesn't look like he's anywhere near it. So that probably makes this game a bit of a coin flip. If Mini gets big games out of their role players on the road, which I get it, that's asking a lot, they've got a shot. But if you were going to ask me which team I think probably squeaks out, I would still lean towards Denver. Jokic is unguardable, but he does need a little bit of help. And Michael Porter Jr. has been kind of out to lunch this series. And again, Murray is banged up, so he's going to need a little something, a little reinforcements in this last one. But if even a little bit is probably enough to get him over the hump. Although I will say, if I was rooting with my heart, I'd be pulling for Minnesota.
Well, I bet some cash on Denver to repeat early on at 4-1.
I know who you're rooting for.
So I've been saying since the beginning of the playoffs, heart with the Knicks, wallet with Denver. Anyway, on to OKC, who's just so young. That crazy statistic that nobody in this series has scored a point for them who's older than 25, you know, they've already made progress making it out of the first round. Is it fair to think that while they're still in this series, it's just kind of a first step for this franchise who's got a remarkable immediate future?
Yeah, I think that's fair. And I know if you ask someone, anyone in or around the organization, they're going to say that they want more. But this still feels like a pretty big success. And the shortcomings, the things where they need work, are very obvious, too, which is also kind of nice. Experience being one of them, and I know sometimes that gets downplayed, but it does matter. And then size is the other one. They're going to just need to be able to beat up some teams every once in a while. And as those things, because they have the draft capital to do it, they have the players to do it, they have the cash to do it, they're in a very enviable place for the next half decade of basketball. And so I really love what they're likely able to build here going forward, because they have an amazing core as well. But right now it does, and you know, in my personal bracket, I actually had Dallas winning this series in six. They have a chance to do that. I don't see how the Thunder, outside of having a terrific three-point shooting game, that's got to be the thing. I don't know how they can counter what the Mavs can throw at them. Dallas's defense got a lot better after the trade deadline. PJ Washington is on one of those, sometimes you just need a guy to get super hot for 4 weeks kind of runs, and that's been a huge deal. They have multiple big men that they can throw at the Thunder, and they were able to win some games even when Luka wasn't all that great. So if you get even a decent to good game out of him, I do think you see the Mavs advance. But yeah, I mean, you know, it's weird to sort of frame that as, I think the Mavs are winning this series, and I still like a lot of what I've seen from the Thunder, but I think it can be both in this instance.
The last thing I want to get to is the series turning me on into a basket case with Reggie Miller flashbacks. So with the way New York smoked him, I was shocked with no Anunoby. Maybe they exposed the Indy shortcomings on defense. But as an observer, what's kind of struck you about this series? And if you think we're heading back to Midtown for Game 7?
Yeah, I think it's going 7. The truth is, I keep thinking the Knicks are going to run out of gas, and they keep not running out of gas. It's one of those moments, I think, too, where you can try to talk like you're the smartest person in the room, and I've been guilty of that a few times in my life, but I'm not going to do that right now. I have no idea when the Knicks are going to hit that proverbial wall. It seems like it should have happened already, because you quite literally have players on this team not coming out of the basketball game repeatedly. This is just normal right now. These are things we haven't seen in the NBA in like 35 years. And yeah, I mean, you know, guys are wearing down a bit, but they're still finding enough in the tank. And Brunson's been incredible. But I do think the Pacers are going to play a better game in the next one. And I think it goes 7, but call it a coin flip again, because I'd love to, again, say, like, I know when the Knicks are going to hit that wall, but I thought it would have happened already, and it hasn't. So my apologies to you. I think you're going to have to be a basket case for two more games at least.
Yes, at a minimum. Folks,
at minimum.
He's Dan Bezbris. Definitely check out all he's got going on, the Old Man Squad Sports Network. His handle is Dan Bezbris, B-E-S-B-R-S, B-R-I-S. Dan, great having you. Really appreciate your time, your insight. Enjoy the weekend, the rest of the playoffs, and I hope we can talk again down the road.
Oh, anytime. It was a distinct pleasure. Thank you so much for having me.
All right, take it easy. Be well. Good stuff. Fun stuff.